The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 145. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, psychologist and adaptability coach to entrepreneurs and business leaders. I believe that working on your business is more important than working in your business. If you want to achieve your business goals and dreams without the cost and pain of having to make every mistake yourself, then the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is the podcast for you. I'm here to help you learn from the lessons of entrepreneurs and business leaders to help you work on yourself and your business so that you can save time, energy, and grow faster. For those of you new to the show, the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai presents 3 new episodes each week. On Insight Sunday, we dive into the minds of business leaders through insightful guest interviews. On Story Tuesday, we dig deeper with them and learn firsthand from their stories, hard-earned lessons, and experience. On Thrive Thursday, it's just you and me on the couch, where you'll hear scientific research, my thoughts, and tangible tactics to adapt and grow yourself and your business. Grab a proverbial seat and listen up so you can learn from the minds and mistakes of business leaders and apply their wisdom to your life and business. Our Story Tuesday conversation was so packed and full of value that I just had to share it all with you in 2 parts. In part 1, Tracy shares lessons she learned as an entrepreneur and change maker for leadership, organizations, and the bottom line for businesses. She talks about attracting the wrong type of clients and learning to connect with and speak to her ideal clients. Before we dive in, I wanted to share that the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is brought to you by Adaptability Coaching and Consulting. If you lead a 7+ figure business and want to reach the next level for yourself and your business, if you have passions, goals, and dreams and want to continue to strive as a team, a leader, and a visionary without risking burnout, if you have overcome challenges, developed wisdom, and know that adapting is not just for surviving, but a core part of thriving, then adaptability coaching is for you. With psychology and neuroscience-backed tools, the 3D adaptation framework can show you how to tap into and harness the way our brains are uniquely designed for adaptation. You can learn to harness and leverage adaptability tools and frameworks to grow yourself and your company. You can learn to become fast, flexible, and formidable. You can learn to hone yourself further, to proactively adapt, to thrive, instead of reactively adapting, just to survive. To learn more, go to dryishai.com/coaching. Join me in welcoming Tracy Trepesky, certified coach and leadership developer, who is an incredible listener, change maker, and knows how to help entrepreneurs, leaders, and their companies envision and create reality out of that vision. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to have you back. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. On Insight Sunday, you share, Tracy, your own process, your journey, and also links between your own experience and learning about the importance of listening, slowing down to be able to speed up or create change, and how you do that work with the entrepreneurs and the leaders and the companies that you coach and consult for, as well as recognizing that there's a part of us that can get stuck in a learning loop, and also that it's sometimes important to slow down and have more patience with ourselves. Sometimes the corporate office that gets frustrated with things taking time is the corporate office up here in our own brains. So thank you so much for sharing all of that on Insight Sunday. I'm really excited to have you back, and thank you for grabbing a seat with me on the Business Couch for Story Tuesday.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. And so we're going to dive a little bit deeper in some of your hard-earned lessons so that we can all learn from them. So I wanted to start by asking, can you share one or two of your biggest learning experiences? Can you bring us into the moment? What happened before, right afterwards, what a key takeaway was?
In my coaching practice early on, I kind of dabbled a little bit in life coaching. I was still working with business owners, but I thought that I wanted to work with women who were kind of in transition coming out of either a major job change, or maybe they were empty nesters and things were changing, or they'd been staying home. And a huge realization for me was that a lot of the people who came through in my first tranche of clients were freshly divorced women. It pushed so many pain points for me because I was also a relatively freshly divorced woman. And it pointed out really quickly that I probably still had some work that I needed to do for my own self, but also that I wasn't satisfied with the life coaching piece. Like, it felt too nebulous. So I made a few changes. I decided that I really, really loved working with business owners. So I was going to shift and start using the word entrepreneur rather than small business owner or women, or like, just needed to make a few changes. And on the advice of my coach that I was working with at the time, doubled my prices between one and the next. So there's several lessons in here. And I was so much happier. And it's not that my first tranche of clients were not good clients. It's that I hadn't gotten very clear, to use sort of jargon, on who my avatar was. And so when I spent time getting really clear about the kind of people that I wanted to work with, everything shifted.
Yeah. So I'm hearing that at the beginning, you ended up doing more life coaching and you found that it was people who were in a similar place in life as you that were really drawn to you. And that kind of avatar, as you said, that kind of person actually ended up pushing buttons. And in a way, it was a lesson for something that you needed to figure out or process or work your own way through. Mm-hmm. And that perhaps something you were putting out there was kind of drawing those kinds of people. And what I'm also hearing is you started shifting. And that shift really was about creating and gaining clarity for yourself. And as you gained that clarity, the shift really started happening. And when the shift happened, that's when you started having clients that were much more fulfilling for you.
Absolutely. And I started having fun. It didn't feel heavy. I think I also will just say, because I think this is really important, I went back to my therapist and had a handful of sessions and said, wow, everything's a trigger for me. And I didn't even realize that. So I must have some lingering stuff and I don't want to be captive to the stuff that's going through my head. And so she was very supportive in helping me. And also she had built a practice from the ground up. So she was a great mentor in some ways for helping me establish where I was headed with my coaching practice. Mm-hmm. At the time I started out just coaching. I wasn't consulting. I added that later. So yeah, that was a huge learning experience.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And I really appreciate you sharing that when you noticed you had all these triggers and there's buttons were being pushed, that there's a difference between coaching and therapy. And there is a way in which pieces of it were really helpful to talk with your coach about. And there were pieces of it that you recognized you need to go back and address that in therapy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was another thing that was kind of coming up, is that a lot of times in that first tranche of clients, they had some unresolved issues and they were hoping that I could help them instead of therapy. And I think there's a misconception actually that coaching and therapy are very similar, one and the same. And coaching came out of positive psychology, but it's not psychology. And I am an MBA. Like, that's not really how I identify, but I'm not a PhD in psychology. I'm an MBA. I'm a business person. And so while I do focus a lot on mindset, I'm not there to solve people's lingering problems or issues, that they have to take care of that either before or during the time that we're working together. So, and I paused one of my clients and sent her back, encouraged her to go see her therapist. She was in a bad situation. I was concerned for her safety. So I felt very out of integrity if I would try to keep working with her on her business while her safety was questionable. So she came back very happy and safe. So
yeah. And I'm hearing that one of the major distinctions is a difference between unresolved or lingering issues that are not necessarily goal related, but are really getting in the way versus when there's something that is either business related or related to the goal or goals of coaching that isn't just a lingering or unresolved or unprocessed or unhandled set of issues.
Yes. And for me, it became very clear also that I was missing the operations side of things. And so I wanted to spend more time supporting with mindset and goal setting, but also talking about the operational component of people's businesses. And then I got all juiced up because I wasn't working for a corporate entity trying to fix their operations. I got to ask questions that led people to decide how to fix their own operations, which was very rewarding.
So less trying to pull something out of the mud
and absolutely
more shaping something out of clay.
Yes. I love that analogy. Absolutely. Yeah. And more, even though I'm talking business with people, it feels very, very creative. So it hits a lot of my need to be creative, but I'm not a painter or a drawer. You know, I really, that's a creative area for me. So it's fun.
Yeah. So in this work, even though, or even when it's around business, there's a tremendous amount of creativity. And it is not only possible, especially in the work that you do and the way that you work, it is really a lot about getting into the sandbox and playing.
Yes. I like to tell my clients from the beginning, you know, the only rules that we have to follow are paying our taxes and obeying the law. And everything else, you can create your own systems. You don't have to go find a guru to tell you how to do internet marketing. You can do things your own way. Sure, if you're going to create a sales funnel, maybe you want somebody to do that for you, but everything else is fair game. And so if you come out of the mindset of what should I be doing into what could I be doing, that changes everything. To me, it's, you know, that, well, the should, it to me is already a judgment word and we're already wrong if we think we should be doing something. But what could I be doing opens up all that possibility. And it is like getting into the sandbox or running out into an open field. You know, like, wee.
Yeah, I really like that. Out of should and into could. So instead of what should I be doing, it's what could I be doing?
And what would I be doing if there were no limits? Because that, again, puts us into that playful space of getting dreamy and going big. And we still need to be aware that it might take 5 or 10 or 20 years even to get to that big, huge, dreamy picture. But when we step into that energy, everything changes. So we go and we play in the possibility and in the energy of it already complete. And it just shifts how we view what's next, because what's next may be a very mundane thing, but at least we can get excited about where we're going.
Yeah. It reminds me of what you were talking about, taking steps, right? If a step is easier, quicker, linear, and it can be done immediately, then it's not a big enough step. And oftentimes, especially when it comes to, in psychology, learning a skill, there's all these boring, banal steps to take. But when you take them, they're really contributing or working towards something that is more magical, that is more visionary, that is much grander. The beautiful thing is when you can create something that's greater than the sum of its parts, but creating the parts or engaging in the process of developing or putting each part into place can be, you know, very rote in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I have to play games with myself sometimes because I get bored really easily. And so I will go out to my vision and then come back in to do the steps, especially if it's something related to tech. I do have an executive virtual assistant who supports me with a lot, but I still have to understand it, you know, in order to invite her to take it over. So the best way for me to tackle the stuff I don't really want to do is to jump into the energy of my vision and get really excited about that and start to, you know, it's almost like I feel it. And I'll take people through a playful sensory thing where it's, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? Who are you with? Describe the scenery around you. And I do the same thing with myself. And then writing 6 email things for my assistant to put into a template doesn't seem so bad. Then I get excited because I know where I'm going. And I also think it changes the energy of the copy that we write and the way that we do our marketing and all of those things, that playfulness and the excitement is in there.
And there's such a big difference when you show up with that playfulness and excitement that you see the vision and you kind of join the vision versus when it's just a big pile of things that need to get done.
Because that's really boring. And, you know, I ask my clients a lot, are you having fun in your business? And sometimes I'll get, well, I used to, and then we had a big growth spurt and now I'm getting burnt out and I'm thinking about going back to corporate, or I'm thinking about going and working in a hospital center or something. Mm-hmm. And that to me is the kiss of death. I mean, for some people, that's the right route for them. I had one client who actually decided to go back to the corporate world. In her discovery process, she found she actually missed that. Mm-hmm. So now she does a little consulting on the side and has her full-time gig, and that makes her really happy. But most of my clients are really committed to staying either in private practice or in their own business. And so supporting them in their vision and getting them into the playful space to lift the heaviness of all of the have-tos and the shoulds really helps them in, you know, we use this word delegation, and that's almost like pushing something onto somebody. I don't know a better term for it, but when they invite or collaborate with their team, it's more exciting and it's easier to let go. And so we spend some time reframing what duties they ought and ought not to be carrying. Mm. And for my money-driven people, I ask them how much they cost their business per hour. And you hire someone for your social media and it might be a few $100 a month, and that's how much your hourly rate is. You know, it's a no-brainer. Mm. They let go pretty quickly. So.
So powerful. It comes back to, on Insight Sunday, you talked a little bit about how important it is to frame things in terms of the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And how much we don't realize until sometimes we're directly asking ourselves, or a coach or a consultant is asking us, how much does it cost you to hold on to this thing? What does it cost for you not to let go? Mm-hmm. What is it costing you to keep your mind closed to other options or possibilities? It's not until that question comes up or that thought process comes up that some people recognize or realize how much, without even realizing it, again, without being conscious of it, we can hold on to these things and then really struggle. We can get stuck in the mud. And that's, I know you're talking about the kiss of death. It's when you're so stuck in the mud that you don't see a way out, and the way you see forward is into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's unfortunate for people who don't, I don't know if it's a presence of mind, but if they don't take their Hail Mary and hire a coach or bring an expert in to show them what's possible and also what's in the way. Oftentimes it's them. It's unfortunate because they'll often leave and go back to the corporate world or back into a hospital setting or some other practice for my doctors, and they just lose all their joy, you know? And so they've lost twice, and that's really unfortunate, but I feel like I get to support them in choosing for what they said that they wanted to be doing in the first place and why they said they wanted to be doing it in the first place. And some of my clients aren't concerned about money. They want to be home with their kids and their spouses. But as a result of making some of the changes and letting go of control, one of my clients, and this was before we really started doing the work, increased his revenues by 40% in like 4 months, 3 or 4 mm-hmm. months, because he made a few adjustments to his schedule and brought somebody else in to handle some of the things that he'd been handling, and was still leaving work on time to pick up the kids on his day to pick them up and to make dinner on the nights when he's making dinner and to do all those things and have weekends free and be playful and be present with his growing family. So he was like, great, I'm making more money, but my wife and my kids are so happy because I'm home and I'm present. And that's what I really wanted. And so we just, kind of goes back to listening and learning what they really want, but we can always get to where we want if we're willing to let go of the thing that is standing in the way, just usually somewhere in our heads.
Thanks for joining us today on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more people like you the ability to learn and grow. You can also click the share button to share today's episode directly with someone you know who would enjoy it. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast artwork is made by Sam Barkadari, show notes by Yishai Barkadari, and music by www.purple-planet.com. The advice and opinions of the host and guests are our own. I'm a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with either the guest or the listener. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, our thoughts and reactions affect our actions. By listening, we can learn from the challenges others face and the choices they make so that we can make better decisions and get better results.